Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, Geekscapists. Welcome to a brand new Geekscape episode. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. This is the podcast that's been going on since 2006. In every episode, I like to discuss, interview, find out a little bit of something about a geek guest. And I started the show way back when on the couch with my good friend Ian Kerner. I think that he is a pop culture encyclopedia. This man has a really incredible knowledge of comic books specifically. And so he's an incredible resource here. And I like to, whenever there's a brand new comic book movie or comic book TV show, I like to sit down with Ian and do a little bit of a postmortem and say, hey, how close is that to the comics? How does this change things, not just on the published page, but on the silver or the big screen? Which is which? The small screen is the TV. Well, we're all watching the stuff on our phones at this point now. But how does this change the stories that we love, the stories that we know? And this is what we're doing today. This is the Loki Season 2 special. It just finished up. I couldn't wait to talk about this season with Ian. And again, if you haven't watched Loki, I'll just say it right now. It's not again. But if you haven't watched Loki Season 2, we're going to spoil the heck out of it. If you want something else to listen to and be like, what's this Geekscape all about? Go back like one episode. I talked a bunch of D&D with Matt Lillard and his partner, Bill Rehor. They have a gaming company together and a brand new show on this new Dungeons & Dragons channel on Freevee. And we had a great discussion about Dungeons & Dragons. So if you're looking for something geeky, have not seen Loki Season 2, go back one episode in the feed. And of course, there's tons of great episodes in the feed that you can go back to. Don't have to go back to that one, but it is suggested. And hear that amazing conversation. It was a lot of fun talking D&D with Matt and Bill, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. If you're still here, I warned you, we're going to spoil the heck out of Loki Season 2. I hope that you have seen it, or maybe you just don't care. Maybe you're like, hey, I've got the Marvel fatigue. I've got the superhero fatigue. I'm good. Just say what you're going to say. This will be my catch up. I don't think so, man. I think there's some stuff in the season you're going to want to hear and watch. But if you don't have the time, this isn't a bad second choice. So let me get things started. You're watching Geekscape, and we're going to talk some Loki Season 2. All right, Geekscapists, let's talk some Loki Season 2. If you're watching this live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, then you know that this is actually the first part of... We have a lot of releases coming out right now, so this is the first part of a two-parter that we're doing live on the channels, because the Marvels also came out this weekend. We're not going to talk about the Marvels here, but if you're watching this live, right after we're done talking Loki, there's going to be a new... feed and right here on the YouTube, on the Facebooks, and on the Twitch talking about the Marvels. So if you're in it for both, I love seeing you in the comments, posting questions, commentary, what you maybe thought about this stuff, asking questions of, again, Ian, a fantastic encyclopedia of all things pop culture. And I even made a little graphic. Let me see if I can find this graphic that I made celebrating the Geekscape 2-in-1. It's based on the old school Marvel 2-in-1 comic book. They usually feature the Thing, but we're going to be talking some Loki season 2. And then if you're watching this live, going right into the Marvels, which also came out this past weekend. But that's enough of that. Let's get to Loki, which means let's get to Ian Kerner. Ian, Loki season 2, baby. At the point that we got Loki season 2, were we still excited? Let's talk about that whole thing about Marvel superhero fatigue, because after the summer, and we got Guardians 3, we got The Flash, we got Blue Beetle, we got our fair share of Marvel shows this year. Where were you on it?
For me, listen, the whole superhero fatigue thing, I think, is BS. I think there's good movies and bad movies. There's good shows and bad shows. A friend of mine, you know, keeps saying that, you know, just look at the numbers. Guardians 3 did great. Far From Home did great. What do they have in common? They're great movies. You know, some of the shows are better than others. Going into Loki, my big fear is coming off of Secret Invasion, which honestly, I mean, you know, we already did our special on that, but I can't believe how off that was. You know, I've been disappointed, you know, and we'll talk about, I think it's fair to lump things together. I don't want to go off onto a tangent about the Marvels, because we'll talk about that in a little while. But, you know, I think that this show I felt was pretty consistent with the first season. That's generally what I say to people. If you like the first season, I think you'll like it. If you dislike the first season, you definitely won't like it.
Who disliked the first season, Ian?
There are people that weren't into it. You know, I think clearly we thought it was great.
You know what? There are some similarities between first season and the pacing in second season. And in that, it has a pretty interesting first episode that has a lot of groundwork to lay and a lot of work to do. And it can be convoluted. And then I'll tell you,
great material.
Yeah, it's great material. It's fascinating. It's smart. I think it's smart. And Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson are just great for carrying it. The supporting cast is awesome. The characters are interesting. And episode 1 of season 2 did a lot of the same, where it's like, okay, we're going to lay the groundwork, because when we last saw these characters, the universe had kind of been reset with the reset of the TVA, the reintroduction of the, you know, the one who remains from last season. Yes. And really the death of the one who remains and the reintroduction of a multiverse in Kang.
He who remains. He's not Neo.
Yeah, he's not the one. So this season did a lot of groundwork setting in the first one. We had the introduction of, like, Ouroboros, who's a great character. Awesome. But by the time, for me at least, that we got to episodes 2, 3, and 4, I read the word plate spinning in an article today, and to me, it became a little frustrating that even though we were jumping in time, we were still spending a lot of time in brown hallways talking about these things that we needed in the plot line of saving the loom, which is what, once you have a multiverse, what weaves them all back together. And I felt a little frustrated that plot line was going on so long, and it really is the full second season is saving the loom, whether or not you find out if it's justified or not. And specifically a character like Ouroboros, and who plays him, it felt like a lot of nonsensical stuff, that it was like, we need to get to do this and then the that. And then once that's solved or not solved, the next solution is to get the thing, to get this, to get the that. And I felt like we were spending a lot of time in hallways. We were spending a lot of time with characters that weren't Loki and plot lines that weren't Loki. And it started to wear on me. And I started feeling like, hey, it feels like we're just going in circles, which, again, once you get to episode 5, the circles does become kind of the point And then once you get to episode six, episode five, I feel is like, okay, this is taking form on a personal level, not just a plot level, because it's very heavy on plot for the first four episodes. And you will drown in it. As I started to drown in it, I'm like, this plot is starting to become nonsensical. When you get to episode five and you realize the solution to a very heavy plot is something very heavy in a character, I started to appreciate it. And then that is really paid off in episode six when there's a maturation of our main character. And I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I think that the maturation of that main character, I think that we get a great, I mean, I think Tom Hiddleston actually said this, you know, Loki comes full circle. And it's one of my things about this series from the get-go has been, you know, we saw Loki as a character grow tremendously in Ragnarok and then ultimately sacrifice himself in Infinity War. And did this Loki, had he gone through it? And I've always struggled with this whole idea of, okay, so seemingly he watched everything that happened to him. And I felt like in watching season one, we're supposed to just accept that by watching what his other self went through, he sort of goes through it.
Yes. Right. But now you've
added the complication. He's no longer the Loki at the end of both Endgame and Avengers. He's a, you know, he actually manages to, you know, he goes through the pathos of what happens with his mother and everything else. And realizing, you know, what he did and why, and being able to actually be honest with himself, but who he is and what he wants, you know, because we then get a Loki who's kind of heroic. Mm-hmm. And the series very much becomes about what does he want? Even the, you know, Sylvie questioning him, and is it about power? You know, particularly in episode six, where there he is, you know, back at the end of time with He Who Remains, and what choice is he going to make? And clearly he doesn't want, he does everything he can not to kill Sylvie. Right.
Right. Right.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing. My big complaint is the nature of power, you know, particularly of who has the power. Like, listen, I'm fine with from the get-go, you got Thor and their gods, but are they gods or are they just powerful aliens? Where do the power come from? And initially with Thor, that Marvel was sort of looking to avoid the whole mystical thing, but they didn't really deal with it. But, you know, so we get a little nod in episode six that this, what's happening to Loki, the time slipping, which evolved into him being able to actually take control of that, was something He Who Remains did to him or gave him, you know? And I guess we just have to accept that that's a thing and that served He Who Remains' purpose, except what about the glorious purpose, right? What about that ending?
Glorious Borden, yeah.
You know, what about, you know, okay, so Loki, did Loki go beyond He Who Remains? Did he? Or was it a manipulation?
There's now a timeline. Yeah, the ending of this movie, of this series, exists in the post He Who Remains. He Who Remains has been killed by Sylvie, but before Sylvie kills him, one of the variations of him presents Loki with a binary choice and says, like, listen, you're going to have to kill her or this is all going to fall out. And Loki supposedly finds a third option. That being said, did He Who Remains know of the third option and simply keep it a secret so that Loki could bring it to fruition on his own terms?
Listen, I have to say right now, I don't want to cut you off, but
no, do
you
it.
Know, I'm a little offended by your use of the word post because you're being very linear. And that just, you know, I mean, my pronouns are not linear. Okay. You know, like it's not post because it doesn't really apply.
It's but the throne is gone. And you know that at the end, when Loki seats himself on a new throne, that it is in lieu of the old throne that had been vacated by the death of He Who Remains, because otherwise the loom doesn't fall out of control with a He Who Remains still on his own throne.
So Chronopolis is in a place that's beyond time? I mean, if it's the end of time, it's the end of time. Is it the end or is it the end?
Yeah. And is this Loki a variant? I mean, there's variants now. It's a multiverse. But so, is there other Lokis now? And this Loki is the one who sacrificed himself to create a new Yucedril. Let's
talk about multiverse. Let's talk about variants.
It's heady stuff, Ian. Let's delve into it.
So what was interesting at the end of season one, and this is something that people have to really, you know, understand. He Who Remains dies from a linear perspective at the end of time, right? I'll keep him in the frame, right? He's all the way over here. But from his death, the multiverse starts again branching. But it's branching, not linear. It's branching all over the place. So the branches could be all over. You know, when they travel in time to prune the branches. So for instance, the variant Loki that we meet, basically in Endgame, the Avengers went, they changed something. That Loki pops away with the Cosmic Cube. He then gets picked up by the Time Variance Authority. So up until then, this is the very same Loki. Everything about his life is exactly the same as the Loki that died in Infinity War up until Avengers. So basically that's the first Thor movie.
Attack the Avengers, get the Tesseract, destroy New York, all that.
Well, no, it's after that.
Right, but that's still the Loki.
That happened for him.
He's still the one that brought the Chitauri to New York in the hopes of getting the Tesseract.
Right, right.
Yes.
It's pre-Thor the Dark World.
Yes.
But the end of Avengers, that's where things divert. So everything about his life is exactly the Loki we know before, just not he doesn't go to Asgard, take Odin's place and rule for a while, and then end up, you know, with Ragnarok and Thor and all that leading into Thanos. Which... in terms of his whole life, not that many things, as opposed to a Loki that's somewhere along the line, you know, the universe branched and it's an alligator, you know, and or there's classic Loki where that's a Loki who lives so long that it's like it's you know, so many millennia that he actually aged, right?
Where it's Sylvie.
Yeah, or it's Sylvie, exactly. It's female. Right. So, you know, somewhere that the universe branched in such a way that there are these different changes. And that's throughout time that kind of thing can happen. You know, so you know, I mean, I always thought that the idea of that is very interesting, but the pruning of that, I mean, always seemed like this impossible task to me. How can you possibly keep up with all of that? And I thought that was an interesting thing that they introduced in the sixth episode of that, you know, the idea of scale.
Yeah, and that you never could.
You can't. Yeah, you right. can't do it. I mean, I guess theoretically, He Who Remains had a way of doing it, you know. It made me think of like...
by creating the TVA.
But is that real? Is the TVA really doing that? Or do you have other ways of doing it beyond them? And that was just for show.
Right. But I think that the presence of Sylvie in witnessing Loki take his place in the final episode proves that there are other Lokis out there. If Sylvie is indeed a variant of Loki, which
supposedly
I think
they said...
Yeah, supposedly she is. So there is a Loki who has sacrificed himself and taken on his responsibility... at whether or not it's the end of the time, the side of time, the literal, whatever, but it's his own throne. I thought that sequence, and I think everybody agrees with it. Everybody who's seen the sequence, it's beautiful how he takes the threads and turns them into a cloak and sits on his throne and takes on the responsibility of being.
And he recreates Yggdrasil.
It's the best part is that he recreates Yggdrasil or Yggdrasil, how you, whatever you pronounce it, but the world tree, the one that, that, is the basis of Norse religion and in all of it. It's just, it was stunning. It was visually stunning. Yeah. And whatever you think of the Jonathan, well, real quick, whatever you think about the Jonathan Majors stuff and the Kang of it all, the showrunner said today, like, no, we had to create that sequence months ago because it's so heavy on effects. And it's such a beautiful thing that none of this concept of does Marvel have a Kang problem, this or that, or we have to find a solution to Kang and Jonathan Majors, none of that stuff had even entered the equation as they were writing the ending, but it does allow Loki to be the powerful time kind of guardian of the Marvel Universe. And there's a user on Facebook watching right now who says, do you guys consider Loki a full-blown hero now, or at least this particular variant of Loki? To which I say, well, this one definitely took on some heroism, but did it out of... I don't know. I mean, that's still a throne at the end, and he's still a god.
Yeah. So that is the interesting full circle. But yes, I do. Because remember, What really moved Loki was what Sylvie said to him, which was that it's beyond trillions. It's you can't count and calculate the number of lives that he saves. It's full universes and over and over and over again. You know, it's the argument became and becomes, and we'll discuss in a bit whether it still comes into play or not, but the idea that He Who Remains' argument is all of them can exist because they all end up, you know, I have to have the sacred timeline. So you save however, I mean, I don't know the number of people, you know, in one universe, but in order for the one to exist, all the others go. And is that a price too much? But if the idea as presented was it's only the sacred timeline or nothing, they all die anyway. And Loki said, no, they don't all die anyway. Right. That's the idea here. So, you know, and is it hard? Is it patience? I mean,
it's kind of like the railroad switch, right? Like the railroad switch, you can hit the switch and it goes and runs over this many people, but then you hit the switch and it runs over this many people. Like Sylvie is what he did this for. In saving Sylvie, his other choice was to kill millions, and he took a third route.
From my perspective, understanding the comics, what's interesting to me is he took He Who Remains' place in a different way, you know, in terms of overseeing the multiverse. To me, it feels very Immortus.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting. The notion of him as the god of stories, when you recognize that it's all a story and it's all in that meta way, and even the idea of, okay, well, what if, and I'm saying it that way on purpose, what if this happened to change things and then that's the multiverse? Well, that's a story, right? So it's all these different stories that he's maintaining.
And Ian, can you talk about that? Because that is part of like the Agents of Asgard or whatever that story is in the comics. And there's so now they're actually drawing some direct stuff from some of the most recent Loki stories.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on this?
I think in essence, the biggest thing that they're really saying is Loki as the god of stories. So basically, Loki had always been the god of deceit, the god of lies, what have you. And at a certain point in the comics, they did this whole thing, this idea of Ragnarok that, you know, in the comics, they said that, hey, it's Ragnarok several times. Ragnarok in Norse mythology is supposed to be the end of everything. And so then you became aware of this idea that, well, yeah, it keeps resetting, which is sort of annoying and obnoxious. And Loki, who as kid Loki was trying to change, he really, you know, he was like destined. He had no choice. It's in Hela's book that this happens and he's always has to be the same thing. So he gets Hela to delete him from the book. So then when he comes back again, he doesn't have to be the same thing. You know, and he can be something different. He can be the god of stories, which in a way, god of lies, god of stories, it's a similar thing. And theoretically, the god of stories, well, you know, then pretty much he can make things happen. So that's the interesting idea there. But I actually think that he's both the god of stories here and he's more than that. And he is sort of like, well, he's a god. He's God, right? He really is getting everything he always wanted, but not in the way he wanted and didn't represent what he wanted. You know, he wanted to rule, but yes, he's on a throne, but is he ruling? Is there any deference to it? Is there any glory to it? Are there any creature comforts to it? Or literally it's just him sitting there and making sure things stay a certain way.
And he's resigned. I mean, there's a level of resolve in the performance. I thought the performance was incredible. And he's kind
of, well, there's a sacrifice.
He's like stuck in the center of this thing. Like it's like he's in the center of the sun.
No, it's a sacrifice.
It's a prison. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I do believe that they had already laid this out. And that's actually what's sort of interesting to me because, you know, when we got Jonathan Majors as He Who Remains, not as Kang, at the end of season one, and then we saw that Kang is a variant of him. So we've known for a while that Kang was coming, supposedly, with Avengers of the Kang Dynasty and all that. And we knew Kang was going to be the bad guy in Quantumania. But what's interesting is we never actually get Kang in the Loki series. And the showrunner said, like, yeah, well, that was, you know, this story is the story that they wanted to tell. And it actually is pretty complete. Because it's the He Who Remains story. Mm-hmm. He Who Remains does not come back. They reference that Kang is out there and Kang may do what he does.
They've even mentioned a little bit of Quantumania in this
one. They reference Quantumania, the 616 variant.
right?
You know, and you know, and that offshoot, because the quantum realm is an offshoot of 616, mm-hmm. right? In that
it's
movie,
it's a quantum. It's a microcosmic
right.
part of the 616. But Victor Timely right. is also a variant, and he's yes. very present in this season.
Yes, but he's Victor Timely. He's not Kang. Maybe he becomes a Kang. Maybe he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it remains to be seen. So what's interesting is the people that say that they may have fixed their Kang problem with this, what they're saying is you can just say never mind is one solution. You know,
and the TVA takes care of Kang and just keep moving.
Exactly. Yeah. And we never even have to see it. Like,
right.
let's just say, and it's hard not to get into a little bit of a reference about what is happening. You know, I don't want to bleed into, you know, the Ms. Marvel conversation, but to the extent that the movies aren't doing as well, I don't think superhero fatigue is so much a thing as, but multiverse fatigue, I think that's real.
Well, Deadpool 3 is going to solve that one.
Well, that's
when
just
it skewers the hell out of it.
Well, wait a second. But I think Deadpool 3 may do a lot of things. There are right. rumors that the TVA is going to be in Deadpool 3.
Yeah. And let's not spoil okay. anything for our Marvel's conversation again in multiversities, because maybe you've only seen Loki season 2 and not the Marvels.
But
there's some multiverse stuff going on.
There is. Well, and again, and that's the thing is it's popping up. It's popping up in a lot of places. But the TVA, I think, is likely will be in Deadpool 3. I don't know how big a role. But I think they will be sure. in it. And that also lines up with the comics and Deadpool dealing with the TVA at certain points. So that's very cool. You don't have to have Loki in it, even if the TVA is in it. I mean, right. literally, they've set this up. The TVA has its mandate. And this Loki only comes into it if it's going way into the nature of the multiverse, not that there's a multiverse story, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a backdrop. Yeah.
Yeah, but my point is that, look, he remains said, you know, this happens to him, and then the Kangs are all going to come, but the TVA could be fighting that. And if they decide to pivot and say, you know what, the audience interest in the Kang multiverse story isn't there, it's tired, never mind, we're not going to do it. They haven't shot Kang Dynasty yet, you know. In the same way, there was an announcement that we were getting you know, the Superman versus Batman, Enter the Night, and, you know, Dawn of Justice, and that just became the one movie.
Yeah.
You know, that could happen.
Yeah, and I mean, Armor Wars becomes a series, becomes a movie, becomes this, and, like, stuff gets taken off schedules all the time. So, yeah, of course.
So the point is that, for me, as, by the way, you know, the MCU, from its inception, they've done a lot of setup stuff that they then just leave dangling. You know, right. there's a lot of things that they set up and they just don't do anything with it.
That Celestial in the North Pole?
Yeah, among other things.
I was expecting to see it in the Marvels, but keep going.
So the point is that for me, you know, the Kang setup is perfectly well solved in this. If we never even see it again, it's referenced and it's dealt with and whatever. And if they do go back to it, they go back to it. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. There are other versions of things that they can do. You know, the other argument is Loki's there on this throne. It does make a certain call out to, in the comics and Secret Wars, Dr. Doom does his whole takeover from Yggdrasil.
Yes.
So it could very well be, you know, that they end up with Loki being at the center of maybe fighting Doom, maybe losing to Doom, and Doom becomes the bad guy that way and subverts the plans of Kang. And again, you don't even need the Kang stuff.
Right. I see Dr. Doom is in a showdown with Loki at the center of reality as a pretty important part of a Secret Wars storyline. Because you also have, I mean, the Molecule Man stuff is always great in the Secret Wars stuff.
Yeah.
But Geekscape is not familiar with both iterations of Secret Wars. It's the consolidation of a lot of this multiverse stuff. And again, we're going to skirt the stuff that's in Ms. Marvel, but Doom basically consolidates a lot of the multiverses into one thing that he can rule. And if Loki's at the center of a multiverse, then he and Kang are going to have a little face to face. Then Loki and Dr. Doom are going to have a face to face, not necessarily Kang. So, like, I think that Marvel's in a good place here. And this stuff was really well written.
Yeah, the big question becomes, my expectation going back to the end of the first season is that some version of adapting Hickman's incursion event stuff, which mm-hmm. is ultimately what leads to that battle world, right?
Agreed. And that's what it feels like is going to be in Secret Wars. And I would not be surprised if
I think that's in Kang Dynasty, which is before Secret Wars. Yeah, and then I think.
But I don't think it's going to be called that anymore, buddy.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And
that might be called Ultimate Marvel.
Well, I'm just saying is, yeah, well, by the way, I mean, or they don't even necessarily have to do it. You know, right. you could say people are over the giant, you know, multiversal thing, or, you know, or you could just do it a little quicker. I think a lot depends on Deadpool and just what they do in Deadpool. I think we'll have a better idea from Deadpool, which is actually going to be the next Marvel movie. And well, Jim, from that.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was going to bring up Jim's comment, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah. From that, that's where I think we get into, you know, a true understanding of what they should do, what they might do. You know, look, you know, one of the biggest problems for the longest time has been, let's get the X-Men already. Let's get the Fantastic Four already. So many things that would be ideal for them to do should have happened, you know?
Yeah.
Should have happened already to set up other things, you know. X-Men we'll touch on in the Marvel special, okay?
Right, because Kamala Khan's a mutant. That's all I'm going to say here.
Uh-huh. They established that in Ms. Marvel mm-hmm. in that show, which came out a while ago. So as far as that goes, but as far as you know, the multiverse and all that, you know, Fantastic Four. A big part of that story.
It's a major cornerstone of this entire thing, Geekscapists, and we kind of have to get it. I don't think that's something that Marvel can sidestep. It is Marvel's first family. Jim Pagliarelli says, so if we get the TVA in Deadpool 3, does that mean Deadpool variants? I can only hope that we get a kitty Deadpool and a lady Deadpool and a silly Deadpool and all that stuff. I mean, I think that a lot of the air of the seriousness and the severity of all this multiverse stuff and the doomsdayness and the all that. And keep in mind, we still have the idea introduced in the end of the second Doctor Strange movie that there's incursions and that Doctor Strange is going to go solve some incursion events and this and that. There's still a lot of it, but Deadpool gets to take the piss out of it. And I think that's healthy. I think that'll be a healthy barometer, like you say, of where Marvel's at on all this stuff and maybe cleaning the slate a little bit, because there is a lot going on at this point and there's a lot that people have to keep track of. But what I love about Loki season one and Loki season two is how they bookend it. And I don't think there'll be a Loki season three. I think that this was a perfect closure to some of these characters.
That's how I feel.
You know, I think Owen Wilson's character, Sylvie, you can see them again, but I think that this was a beautiful closure.
No, I think it's set up that you can see them again. I think very specifically you're going to see some. I think we're going to get B-15, probably Mobius in, and maybe Ouroboros in Deadpool 3.
Well, B-15 straight up runs the TVA. You got to have that.
That's what I'm saying. So that's my expectation there. I do not think Renslayer's dead, but...
No, you saw Renslayer at the end of the episode with...
Well, a lot of people think because you hear Ally off in the background there that the...
That giant monster cloud thing that they're running from? That was not... Wasn't that Kang's servant, though, at some point? Or He Who Remains' servant? Or some form of...
Yes, but with no He Who Remains, it's free to do whatever it wants. And a lot of people think that means, hearing it means, you know, she's about to get killed. But we didn't see it, so I don't think so.
And Throg is still there somewhere, so, like, come on. Come on, Geekscapists. Maybe Throg saves her and it moves on to a different storyline.
Or she figures out a way to, you know, to take over some technology or whatever, you know? I mean, the point is that, listen, if they do go forward with Kang in any way, she's in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Can it just be role? Considering she was an equal to Kang in sharing a throne.
A lot of people think that's a way to pivot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting way to pivot. And listen, I mean, by the way, a pivot like that, you know, Kang's not a real name. It's not exactly a title, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's not his name. So, right. You know, I mean, anyone could be Kang, and even down to it being in a mask.
Right, right.
But by the way, that's another thing they can do. I mean, if they wanted to. If you're really worried about it, if they do decide, and by the way, the one thing we haven't said, so let's come out and say it. The conversation about Kang and going forward, that there's a few levels. There's both the public's interest, but also Jonathan Majors' legal problems. And what I've been hearing is in a few months, they'll have a better idea. So they're not making any decisions about whether or not they need to recast or anything or not go forward or any of it till they see where that lands. I did think his performance, not surprising, was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Victor Timely character still exists, with Loki holding the strands. Any chance of... There's not really a purpose to seeing that character because they actually cleaned that up. They made sure that he never gets the TVA book. So real Victor Timely.
It depends on the universe, doesn't it?
Sure, sure, sure.
I mean, because that begs the question. Does getting the TVA guide, is that always the case? Or, I mean, mm-hmm. he was already so brilliant about
his experience. Just
the philosophy of time travel and all that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. did every Kang start there? They came about in so many different universes somehow.
Well, there was a Kang that started in the far future as well that we know that's a classic Kang, the Richards.
We think that.
Mm-hmm.
We think so. Or did you know, Victor Timely create a time machine and go travel and become that? We're not sure. You know, we don't know.
Right.
So showing a version of the kid not getting, you know, the guidebook, you know, trainer manual, whatever you want to call it, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that.
The Fantastic Four movie comes out and everybody loves it and everybody loves Doom and this and that. Is there a version of a Nathaniel Richards that becomes a Kang later on if you ever need the character to be the time-jumping villain that he is in the Marvel Universe?
Sure. I mean, listen, maybe. There's any version they want.
And that's a different cast. That is a descendant of Reed Richards or Reed Richards' father or whatever Nathaniel Richards is.
That's always been messy because there's...
It's really messy.
Yes, because also... There have been times
Can you tell it? What is your version of it? And I like the Kelly and Lansing stuff that they just did. I thought that was a nice version. If you
that was good, but what that didn't really touch on the very
and it just came out. Geekscapist, if you want to go find what I'm talking about in a comic store, it just came out. It's a Kang miniseries. It's collected.
It's also you could also do it. And the Infinity Comics, they did a version there too.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the Marvel Infinity app.
Yes. But that deals with Kang's story with Nathaniel Richards of the future being fully formed without really getting into his ancestry.
Okay. He does not have to be a descendant of Reed Richards, right?
Or maybe he's descendant of Reed's father, you know, so it's not necessarily from Reed. But then the other argument is that sometimes they say, oh, he's descended from Doom.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you think about it, there could be a version of events where both can be true.
It's getting messy again. Like I see.
Well, not really, because if a descendant of Nathaniel Richards and a descendant of Doom procreated, mm-hmm. then he's a descendant of both.
Right. Right. But that's a problem for the Fantastic Four. That's a problem for the post Fantastic Four introduction MCU. But there's I think the point I'm trying to make is that there's multiple solutions to what could be a Kang problem, as a lot of people in Hollywood want to say, like, oh, Marvel's got a Kang problem. Marvel's got a Kang problem. And I think they've completely not even you don't even have to address it. There's plenty of stories. And like you said earlier, like the solution to superhero fatigue is quality. And the last two episodes really stuck the landing on this. Jim Pellegrinelli says, Loki taking that throne at the end reminded me of the ending of All-Star Superman. He loved the ending. I'm trying to remember. I read through All-Star Superman in single issues when it came out. What's the ending on All-Star Superman? I'm But I mean, clearly there's plenty of God metaphors with Superman. And I love All-Star Superman. Jim also adds, could someone who already exists become a new king, maybe Ouroboros or Renslayer? I propose Renslayer could take the mantle of
Isn't that what I said before?
Yeah.
Didn't I say that about it's not necessarily his name? So, yeah, I thought, yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. If, you know, but if that's necessary, I think that's a different story. I think that's a pivot, and I'm not necessarily against it, but to the extent that you need Kang, a Kang around to fight, maybe it's to fight Doom, what have you, you know, but by the way, realize this, let's just say for the sake, if what we're saying is Jonathan Majors, they don't want to be with him anymore. Fine. Just leave him in the mask. The mask. I mean, it does kind of look like Jonathan Majors, but that doesn't necessarily matter.
Well, you're talking about the blue breathing mask that he used in Quantumania, but that mask is, I think the main thing is you need a purple suit, a blue mask, and two lines going through the eyes down to the side. And that is the signature Kang look. Kang's got a pretty signature Jack Kirby look that is pretty fun. And then there's clearly all those variants of Kang, you know.
And ultimately, you know, and you can just straight up recast it if that's what you want, need to do.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I mean, they've done that in the MCU a few times.
Yeah, it's been done plenty of times.
Nobody's blinking at Rhodey at this point.
No one's blinking at Mark Ruffalo either.
Oh, there we go. Jim Paganelli says, All-Star Superman ends when Superman flies into the sun to restore it, sacrificing himself to keep it burning. I recall now. And yes, that is very much an All-Star Superman ending. It's beautiful. Geese Gabus, if you have not read All-Star Superman, definitely seek that one out. The Frank Quitely artwork is incredible. Incredible. So Ian, we've talked about whether or not we see some of the TVA characters again. And I think maybe Deadpool 3, of course. Sylvie. Will we see Sylvie again? This is a character that was saved at the end of this, and Sylvie's now free, and that was the thing she wanted, was a freedom.
My feeling is, well, so she's not going to be an agent of the TVA, so I don't think we see her there. The question is, where does the Sylvie want, what Earth does she want to be on? When they created that character, my early assumption was we'd see her in Thunderbolts. But I don't have a sense coming off of this that there's any motivation for that. It just depends, you know, she could hop anywhere.
And Ian, can you refresh me on the things have shifted, and Ian did say that Deadpool 3 is the next Marvel movie we're going to get. We're actually going to get Echo in January or February, correct? That'll be the next Marvel release. But with things like Thunderbolts,
is it
with
not
things
till January, like, or is it late December? Or
I think it's January. But with things like Thunderbolts and Cap 3 shifting, changing places, I think Deadpool 3 is next because it was going to be Cap, but Cap came back out of the strike with production still to be done and this and that. Like Deadpool jumped right back into production. Was supposedly further along. Where's everything at?
Deadpool has a little production left, but they'll have that done. Cap, from the way I hear it, was mostly shot, but they want to reshoot stuff because they're not, they think they have problems with whatever it is. They don't think it's what they should be putting out.
Okay. Okay. Matt Kelly just added a Geekscape show too. You heard the sirens. Okay. So Cap 3 got moved to sweeten it a bit. Thunderbolts
is supposedly a few months after Cap. There's no question in my mind that Cap set up Thunderbolts, certainly the Thunderbolt Ross stuff, you know?
So you can't leapfrog one in front of the other. They got to go in that order. Okay. No. So that's okay. So we got Deadpool 3, Cap 3,
Cap 4,
Cap 4, but the first Sam Wilson Cap, and then you got Thunderbolts. And then you're ready for some Kingtomania, as I think Avengers can be called. It should be called Kingtomania.
FF before that.
Don't lie to me.
I'm telling you.
What are you hearing about Fantastic Four? Because there has been nothing but pin drops on that stuff.
I mean, supposedly casting stuff, but nothing's ever been confirmed.
You think this Fantastic Four movie's been cast? You've heard that it's been cast, Ian, or that it's actually
a lot of people. I've been hearing Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, but I mean, again, no one's confirmed it. I heard a while ago Javier Bardem as Dr. Doom, but again, not
would be
confirmed.
Beautiful. It'd be beautiful. Yeah. Damn, Ian, because if you're telling me that after these next three Marvel movies, Deadpool 3, Cap 4, Thunderbolts, the next slot is for a Fantastic Four movie. Has there been any filming on Thunderbolts?
No.
Okay, so it's all good. And Armor Wars, is that really going to happen? Be real with me.
No.
You don't think Armor Wars is going to happen at all?
No.
Not after the turn of the Rhodey storyline and Secret Invasion.
And variety of reasons, you know, maybe we get into that more in Ms. Marvel if we're going to talk about feature, how well the movies are doing, but mm-hmm. I do not see that happening.
Is there going to be a sense, is there a sense that like the studio doesn't want to stick their necks out too far at Absolutely. This point and they want to bring some of that stuff in?
You know, I was in a meeting earlier talking to a studio executive, so I can speak to across the board content right now. Everyone wants IP and they want what they think are sure things. And what's happened is the sure thing that was Marvel no longer is that.
Mm-hmm.
So it remains to be seen what they do to quote unquote course correct.
He who remains to be seen?
Maybe it there's definitely going to be less,
sure,
you know, which because obviously it was maybe too much.
Sure.
The arguments being made that Kevin Feige and even his lieutenants is managing too many things at the same time, so that's going to be part of it. And as you referenced before, some things that were announced very well may not happen. You know, Echo got released because it was already shot, and oddly, I'll tell you this. Echo is decidedly shorter than what they supposedly shot.
Yes, I think it's 5 episodes.
I don't know what that means. It's 5
released
episodes
at once.
Yes, but it was supposed to be 8.
Sure.
And they apparently had shot them all, so don't know what that means. And they're calling it Marvel Spotlight. What does that mean?
That's what they did with Werewolf by Night. It was a Marvel Spotlight as well, correct?
Was it? I thought they just coined Marvel Spotlight.
No, I think that Werewolf by Night was some form of a Marvel Spotlight. Yeah. It's worth the research, Geekscape. Email me, jonathan@geekscape.net, if you have an answer for that stuff. I love talking to you guys. And
I know they talked about Werewolf by Night being this other corner of the Marvel Universe, maybe less walk, so maybe that does make it Marvel Spotlight. Because for me, the Echo thing is like, some people thought Marvel Spotlight, putting that on that was like saying, hey, it doesn't matter, which is weird because
Kingpin's a pretty major character, and he's coming out of the events Hawkeye.
And Daredevil is coming out. Yep. So whether you want to say it's following up their Netflix Daredevil series or it's a precursor to the new Daredevil series, I don't care. The point is, it's definitely part of the continuity.
Definitely part of the continuity. And what I was going to propose, speaking of things like Werewolf by Night, is there, and again, like, is there any chance that a smaller solution to some of these Marvel properties could arise where they say, you know what, none of these, like some of these don't have to be $150 million movies. Some of these can be $40 million movies, and we have a return to the underworld sized, you know, Resident Evil sized movie where these are $20 to $40 million movies with some of these smaller characters.
I don't want to cut you off. This is a weird episode, and the fact that the Marvel just came out and we're going to literally, once we stop recording this one, we're going to go and we're going to record the Marvels. But yeah, you're going down the rabbit hole of talking about the features, which probably I think belongs in the Marvels conversation.
Sure. Sure.
You know?
But
yeah, but there's stuff to be said there. You know, to the extent that we're on the Loki special, I mean, and, you know, I don't know, maybe we're done talking about Loki. I mean, except insofar as the TV series, I do think, you know, like we could say that they're holding back Agatha,
right,
which that's done. They're holding back Ironheart, which is also done.
Wow.
Completely shot. Wow. I believe they've even done post on them. They're ready, and they're not releasing them.
Mm-hmm.
So is that because they want to release it more strategically? Or are they thinking maybe they shouldn't bother? I'm not sure what they're thinking.
Right. But you're right. Between the Daredevil reshuffle, they're clearly going to keep pushing that. And then Agatha and Ironheart are already being shot and ready to go. Yeah. I think that Marvel can sit and kind of watch the landscape and see when that stuff hits. But I don't see that stuff not releasing, though.
My personal opinion, though, is they're holding back. To me, I'm going, why? People are either going to be interested in them or not. I don't think anything is going to happen that's going to change people's level of interest in those two shows that they've already shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think waiting a year or two to release either of those makes more people watch them.
Sure. Sure.
If anything, I think waiting longer to release them makes less people watch them. I think you wanted to get Agatha out as soon as possible when people still remember WandaVision, and you wanted to get Ironheart out as soon as possible when people still remember Black Panther 2, right?
Sure.
So for me, my big frustration, and this...
How frustrating.
We could talk about it with Loki and with the Marvels, sure. But it's the amount of time in between these things. And again, mm-hmm. I will save that for the Marvels conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the problem. But as for Loki, I think the series was entertaining, was fun. As I keep saying, if you like the first season, I think it's definitely worth watching. And it's doing well. In fact, it's doing really well. But when they compare it to season one, it's not doing that well.
Okay. All right. Well, Geekscapists, I think that it's a perfect... bookend to what was introduced in season one. I think it's awesome, and it sets up some really wonderful possibilities for this grand story moving forward.
Yeah, but and also, even just if you were ever a fan of the Loki character, even just from the movies, watching this series is worth it because as Hiddleston had said, I think it was on Fallon, but he basically said that he comes full circle, and this could be it. This could be a swan song and you could be done, and it's a cool place to be done on,
Well, Geekscapists, we are not done. If you're watching this live, we're going to give a little break. Ian's going to get some water. I know I got to go get some, and we're going to come back with some Marvel stuff if you're watching live. But if you're listening on the podcast, then I hope you've enjoyed it. We tried hard to not spoil anything outside of Loki season two. This is in your feed, and maybe go out and see the Marvels and then come listen to that episode if you haven't yet watched that movie. But if this is all you're gonna do, if this is all the Geekscape you got for you this week, I really appreciate you listening to us. Share it with your friends, leave a comment, email me jonathan@geekscape.net, and all that. I really appreciate all the activity you all have been giving us on the Geekscape Facebook forever. What is it? It's on Facebook. It's the Geekscape Forever group. That's been really active and a lot of fun. And then the numbers on Spotify have been great. So keep sharing, keep doing all that stuff, keep supporting, and Geekscape Forever.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.